Good morning. First of all, I want to thank all the youth for letting me come up here today. I think Isaac was the oldest. He's 20, so I got him by 40 years. So I appreciate that. Thank you all, and thank you, Jesus. Talking about old, it was November of 1987. Some of you all can remember that. It was a very rough time in my messed up life. I was 32, and earlier that year I had moved to Chattanooga, Tennessee to take a job as a manager of a jewelry store. It was the first time I'd ever moved away from home, away from New Albany, Indiana. So I was a little bit scared, but mostly I was missing my friends and my family. Then I met a young lady. She was in her 20s. She worked for me. Her name was Annie. We became very good friends, and we'd talk late into the night sometime, just about everything, but mostly about her life, mostly about her lifestyle. She was very solid in her beliefs and ways. And those ways and beliefs were very contradictory to the world that I'd lived in, to the world some of us live in right now. At that time, I didn't realize it, but she was going to point me in a different direction. I'm crying already. Got my IU Kleenexes, by the way. All you Kentucky fans. She was going to point my life in a different direction and send me on a journey that only God knew where it would end. I fell in love with her lifestyle, even though she was always ridiculed and made fun of. One time I asked her how she handled all that. She said, "Oh, it doesn't really bother me. I just kill them with kindness until they forget why they dislike me, and then everything's fine." You see, Annie, she was my first close encounter with a true Christian. At 32 years old, I was. When she'd sign her name to something, she'd always write at the bottom, 2 Corinthians 12:9. I didn't have Google back then, so I had to go to church and get a Bible. I looked it up, and it was a King James Version. It said, "My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness." You see, Annie wrote that because she'd been a diabetic for years. She was only 20-something years old. She'd grown up with dealing with diets and taking all kinds of different medicines. Instead of complaining about her situation, here we go. She couldn't, and how she couldn't have a life like all her friends. Instead of doing that, she relished the word of God. And how in 2 Corinthians 12:9, she was promised that God's grace is sufficient for her, and that his strength in her would be made perfect through her weakness, which was the diabetes. Again, I just couldn't, in my mind and wisdom of all of 32 years, understand her choice of lifestyle when the world around her made her life so tough. Good morning. My name is Gary Henderson. Today's sermon is on encouragement. Encouragement. Annie inspired me 28 years ago. Let me tell you who on this earth encourages and inspires me now. John Nally comes up to me every Sunday, puts his big arms around me, hugs me, and whispers in my ear with that deep, low voice, "God loves you, man. You are full of the Holy Spirit, and he speaks through you." He's done it twice today. Doug Rothrock, haven't known him very long, but every time I see him, he tells me and encourages me of how I have been a servant to this church and to our God. And I'm like, wow, me? Gary from Indiana?
And then I'm telling Nick up in the crow's nest this morning about it, about the sermon. He goes, "Man, you've encouraged me ever since I met you." And I'm like, "Oh, gee, what have I done?" He said, "You wouldn't believe how far my life has come since I met you." And then there's a lady in my life. Now I'm already crying, so let's bring her up here. Melanie, she could help me cry. Has anybody ever read the Five Love Languages? You need to. I didn't see one hand. Melanie's love language is touch. She likes to be touched, hugged, hold hands. She is a chee-cheesin'. She likes me to grab her knee every once in a while in church. But most of all, she likes sometimes a little kiss on the cheek. So when it's my day off and I'm sitting at home, lounging, not doing anything, she comes home around 4:30 after cleaning houses. I say, well, first of all, I go fishing for a little affirmation, you know. Say, "Honey, did you notice the yard as you drove in?" And she says,
"Yeah, honey, it looks great."
I said, "Hey, I ran the dishwasher and did some laundry." This is what you say.
Oh. Wow, honey. That's great. Oh, and it smells good in here, too.
Yeah, I dusted and vacuumed the carpet while you were gone.
Oh, here's my first one. I appreciate you so much.
Thank you.
And I'm so lucky to have married you. You the man.
So when her car needs cleaned, or gas put in it, or it's garbage day, she says, Kids down here, like, one day it's coming. The best part is she lifts me up all the time, not just when I'm looking for it. Mark Twain once said, "I can live for 2 months on a good compliment." Proverbs 18:21 says, "The tongue has the power of life and death." The tongue has the power of life and death. Proverbs 12:25, "An anxious heart weighs a man down, but a kind word cheers him up." A kind word cheers him up. Okay, I want you guys to think for a minute, and there's a place on your bulletin. Write down who is encouraging or who has encouraged you in your life. Just take a second. I attend a men's Bible study on Tuesday mornings in Clarksville. We study the Bible year-round for two reasons. First, we feel we have something missing if we don't have it every week. We just feel something's not right. And we take every verse word by word. At first, we called our group the Keepers of the Word. We thought, that's a cool name. But since we take it so slow and study each word, we change it to Creepers of the Word. I love those guys, and we all encourage each other throughout with life's problems. It's a great little group. Melanie and I are in a couples small group. It's been around for almost 10 years now. It consists of six couples, all from different backgrounds and all from different churches. We all feel that God has brought us together. The group has dealt with cancer, death, marriage problems, raising children, loss of jobs, aging parents, just to name a few. We have all encouraged each other in ways the Holy Spirit has directed us, with prayer and knowledge, but mostly through His love. We thank God for Him bringing us together, because we probably would have never met any other way. The Bible has many scripture verses on encouragement. So when you're down or overcome by problems in your daily life, keep these handy. They're a cure for what ails you. Proverbs 18:10, "The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run to it and are safe." Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all ways acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight. And Isaiah 41:10 says, so do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will hold you up with my righteous right hand. Now, God is the ultimate encourager. Here's an encouraging note from God. Good morning. I am God. Today I will be handling all your problems. Please remember that I do not need your help. If the devil happens to deliver a situation to you and you cannot handle it, do not attempt to resolve it. Kindly put it in the SFJTD or something for Jesus to do box. It will be addressed in my time, not yours. Once the matter is placed into the box, do not hold on to it or attempt to remove it. Holding on or removal will delay the resolution of your problem. If it is a situation that you think you are capable of handling, please consult me in prayer to be sure that it is the proper resolution. Because I do not sleep, nor do I slumber, there is no need for you to lose any sleep. So rest, my child. If you need to contact me, I'm only a prayer away. I love you, your Father, God. Let's talk about the gift of encouragement. It's a spiritual gift from God. The gift of encouragement or exhortation is found in Romans 12, 7 and 8. Now this is really important, so listen to me. Everybody wake up. One of the preachers says, listen to me now, listen to me. Who says that? Who? Charles Stanley, thank you, sir. Give him an extra cookie. The Greek word for encouragement is paraklesis. P-A-R-K-L-E-S-I-S, paraklesis, which basically means a call to one's side. Paraklesis is the idea of bringing someone closely alongside you in order to exhort, urge, encourage, give joy, and comfort him or her. These are all parts of the gift of encouragement. Paul often urged and exhorted his readers to act. In Romans 12, 1 and 2, he says, it's a good example, where Paul urges the Romans to present their bodies to God as living sacrifices. So if you have the spiritual gift of encouragement, you can use it in public and private places. It's used in counseling, discipleship, mentoring, and preaching. Probably the best story of someone with the gift of encouragement is Barnabas. His real name was Joseph, but the apostles called him Barnabas, which means son of encouragement. In Acts 9:27, Barnabas comes along the newly converted Paul and introduces him to the church. They become best friends. They start doing everything together, traveling from city to city to tell everyone about Jesus Christ. One trip, they decided to take Mark, a young nephew of Barnabas. The three of them got into a boat and went to an island to tell people about Jesus. It was going well until it was time to leave, and they were going to go even to a further away place. That's when Mark, the young nephew, got homesick. He chose to go home, while Paul and Barnabas went on to other places, continuing their ministry. A few years later, they decided to revisit that first island, and Barnabas wanted to invite his more mature, grown-up nephew, Mark, again, to make it a reunion mission trip. Well, Paul didn't like that. He kind of blew up. Got pretty angry with Barnabas about Mark going again. In fact, they got so mad at each other that after all these years together, their friendship failed. So Barnabas and Mark went back to the first island while Paul got Silas to go with him in a different direction. Throughout Acts, Barnabas encourages the believers to continue in the grace of God. Even though he had deserted a mission before, Barnabas gave Mark another chance. Many times Barnabas called others to his side to help, comfort, and encourage them. Got a story here about two men who were seriously ill. They occupied the same room in a hospital. One of them was lying in bed near the window in the room. Every day he was allowed to spend some time sitting up in his bed. The other man was forced to spend his days flat on his back. They talked a lot about life, family, jobs, vacations. Every time when the first man sitting by the window, he described in details all that he saw outside the window. Every time he would sit up, he'd describe to the other man laying on his bed what was going on outside. And the roommate always looked for those moments when his world was broadened and brightened up by the world outside. Amazing views of a park with a beautiful lake could be seen from the window of the room. Children delightfully playing among ducks and swans. Couples walking hands in hands through the park among colorful flowers. And also the stunning city skyline could be seen. When the man by the window had been thoroughly describing all that was happening outside the window, his roommate could close his eyes and just imagine all the beautiful scenes of life that were told to him. One night, the man whose bed was near the window died peacefully during his sleep, and his roommate was very, very sad. After some time, when the nurse came to visit him, he asked if he could be moved next to the window. The nurse agreed and kindly made the switch. When she left, the man slowly and painfully propped himself up on one elbow and took his first look at the world outside. He was stunned because all he saw was a blank wall. When the nurse came to visit him the next time, he told her about the beautiful things outside the window that his roommate had described to him. The nurse replied that his roommate was a blind man. And she said, yep, he was a real encourager. Great story. God commands us to encourage. 1 Thessalonians 5:11 says, therefore, encourage one another and build one another up, just as you are doing. Ephesians 4:29, let no corrupting talk come out of your mouths, but only such as is good for building up as it fits the occasion, that it may give grace to those who hear. I pray we have a video.
I'm so excited today. It's like I woke up and thought, today is the day to get working for Jesus.
Kat, I'm so excited to find someone who's ready to take action and get things done.
Oh man, I am that girl.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I've got something perfect for you. So let's get started. What are you doing? Stand up. Remember, we were gonna take action.
Yeah, but this is where I always sit.
Right, but I need more than this.
Oh, I know what you're getting at. Okay, Jesus, how much do you want?
What?
$50? Is that enough?
Oh, that's not what I meant.
Oh, all right. Well, 100 then, you know. You drive a hard bargain. Okay, but you might not want to cash this till next Friday. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
There you go.
Okay, Kat, really, I do think it's great that you want to give, but I want you to mentor a younger woman.
Ooh, yeah, right. Well, Jesus, you know, I'm not really into, like, teaching people and stuff. I mean, I don't really get into that.
Okay, okay, you know that woman at the office, Amy?
Yeah.
I want you to take her out to lunch. Tell her about me.
Well, Amy is different. I mean, like, really different, you know?
I know, but she needs to know about me.
And I can tell the people at the church to call her. I mean, they get paid to do things like that.
I want you to do that.
Jesus, I just don't feel comfortable doing that.
What are you doing? I am waiting for my coffee, fighting off a panic.
No, Kat. What? The problem is, you're too comfortable.
A little light reading. Some lovely calendar choices. Would rather glue.
Okay. How many of us are like that? You don't have to raise your hand. Are we too comfortable in our Christian life to follow God's calling? I know I'm guilty. Guilty of not focusing on what God wants in my life. Not focusing on the decisions He wants me to make and the opportunity He has offered up to me. Not focusing on the times when He has showed me the opportunities to encourage others that He put into my life. Let me ask you something. Why are some of us not encouraged or exhorted? I think it's because we're looking in the wrong places. Some of us look for material things in our life to make us better, right? I think many folks are expecting miracles. They think that if God showed them a big miracle or two, then I'll be encouraged. Well, wake up, folks, because God is all around, and He's showing off His power with miracles. For example, sun came up this morning, didn't it? The earth spinning on its axis. That's just hard to believe. I can't fathom that. Newborn grandchild I had, tomorrow will be 3 weeks ago. What a miracle. The unconditional love God has for all of us, a miracle. Each of us created in His image, and many more. I mentioned the youth earlier, but they are a very important part of our society and our church today. When we do that stand up and encouragement, come down here and hug some of these youth. I'm telling you, they're doing great things. We as adults and Christians need to see that they are always encouraged with the kind affirming words and by bringing them alongside us to help, comfort, and exhort them like Barnabas did. A lot of youth and adults are not encouraged because probably we're too busy. Or maybe they're not showing enough potential. Or maybe they just don't ask. Yes, you also need to speak up and let people know when you are hurting or if you feel like you're failing in life. Because if you don't be surprised if somebody doesn't care. An elderly pastor was searching his closet for a tie before church one Sunday morning. In the back of the closet, he found a small box containing 3 eggs and 100 $1 bills. So he called his wife in and said, what's these boxes about? Embarrassed, she admitted she had hidden the box for the entire 30 years of their marriage. Disappointed and hurt, the pastor asked her, why? The wife replied that she hadn't want to hurt his feeling. He asked her how the box could have hurt his feelings. She said every time during their marriage that he delivered a poor sermon, she placed an egg in the box. And the pastor said, wow, only 3 poor sermons in 30 years? That certainly wasn't anything to feel bad about. So he asked about what were the $100 for. She said, each time I got a dozen eggs, I sold them to the neighbor for $1. I know, long way to go. Laughter can also be a form of encouragement, right? Melanie always says that she'll live to be 100 because I make her laugh so much. So while studying for this sermon, I found that to be true. Melanie is going on 107 today. Thank God for the youth. Proverbs 17:22 says, a cheerful heart is good medicine. A cheerful heart is good medicine. According to researchers, laughter could be just what the doctor ordered when it comes with coping with life stresses. It's been proven that laughter relaxes muscles, lowers blood pressure, eases mental tension, reduces levels of hormones that trigger the stress responses and suppress immunity, releases endorphins, the same stress reducers triggered by exercise. Laughter is very beneficial for improving one's perspective on life. My challenge to you is, be pleasant and be fun to be around. Don't be a downer or a complainer. Our attitude can be an encouragement to others. Remember, Proverbs 17:22, a cheerful heart is good medicine. Now back to the rest of my story about Annie. This Bible. This is my first Bible. And Annie gave it to me 28 years ago. She wrote inside the front cover. It's right there. She really did. She said, "Dear Gary, I bought this Bible for you because I love you and care about you as my friend. I know you've experienced some heartache and difficulties in the last couple of years, and even now. I think you will find that at those times, this book and the Lord will become your strength and greatest source of comfort. I know that the Lord has placed people into my own life who have greatly influenced me spiritually. I just want you to know that if my family or I can do anything to be of help to you in any way, we will do our best to help. Read this book daily. Make it the manager of your life, and I promise you it will make you the best manager of your store. Always your friend, Andy, 2 Corinthians 12:9. Let's pray. Dear Lord, thank you so much for your word, first of all, Father, but thank you so much for the encouragers in our life. Please help us all to be better encouragers, Father. Please help us to find someone or some people to bring alongside us, to give them hope and comfort and encourage them in their endeavors in life, Father. But hopefully we encourage them more to follow you. To your heart, lead me to you.